Well, last week we found out that we have a thief in our midst. You say, what are you talking about, buddy? If you weren't here with us last week, we had people fill out a card that would say, here's what Satan has stolen from me. And what a stack we got of the work of Satan. He is well and alive. Now, if in your neighborhood you found out there was a thief, you would be very alarmed and you'd do something. I told you about a few years ago when we had a thief come into our neighborhood. I'm telling you, everything changed overnight. Everybody was putting new locks on their doors and new cameras to catch everything at the beginning of the streets and on your house. Everybody cuts on their front porch light and their back porch light every night. Neighborhood watch is in full gear. Don't walk through our neighborhood during that time. You'd have been called out. And guys, when we see there's a theft, we respond physically. But here's my challenge today. Are we responding just as strongly spiritually when Satan comes into our life to steal what God has intended? You see, here's what Jesus said in John chapter 10. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Guys, we have a thief in our midst who's trying to take every good thing out of your life. And here's a list of some of the things that you listed on your cards last week. Those are the ones that were listed most prominently. And you can look over there and you'll probably see something in your life. Top two far and away were peace and joy. And I ask you this morning, what has Satan been ripping off from you? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, do not give the devil an opportunity. Gosh, too many of us have lived with our windows unlocked and our doors unlocked, and Satan has come in. And this morning, I want to give you some practical tools about how we retake what Satan has taken. If you have your Bible, go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. It's a unique story back there. And let me just tell you the background of the story as we get into this lesson. David has been fighting King Saul. And in the middle of fighting King Saul, David's made all these allies that you wouldn't expect, like Philistines and other people, who help him out. And in chapter 30 here in 1 Samuel, David's gone back out to battle. But he made a mistake. At least it seems like he did. He didn't leave anybody back to protect the women and children. And so when the story opens, the Amalekites have come in and they've destroyed everything David had, and they have taken his wives and his children hostage. It's an awful scene. Let me just make one point here before we go into the majority of the lesson. Guys, Satan will do anything he can to remove the men from our society. You see, guys, women are extremely valuable. They have a value that we don't have. But we would be so foolish to not say that men have a value that women don't have in a whole different way. And yet Satan in your home wants to keep the men out. In our church, he wants to keep the men out. In our culture, he wants to think there is no difference at all. My friends, it started back in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. It looked like Eve was the initiator, but Adam was supposed to be the protector. And when you take the protector out, you get in trouble. And for men in this church today, I want to challenge you. You've got to play that role. It's a particular role for you. If not, the enemy is going to have plenty of room to break in and to steal what he wants. So, how do we reclaim what Satan has stolen? Let's go back to this story. Because here's the opening. Satan had stolen it all from David. Here's what we're going to get to at the end. God had reclaimed it all for David. So, it's a great story. 1 Samuel chapter 30, we're going to walk through it. We're going to give you 8 practical points of what you do when you've had something stolen. Let's look at verse 1. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but they carried them off as they went on their way. Now here we go. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. First point, you've got to feel your loss deeply. David and his army weep until they have no more tears left. Now, guys, this is shocking. These are not some soft men. These are hardened warriors who are used to awful things. And yet when they get back and all their families are taken, their stuff is taken, they feel it so deeply. I want to challenge you. Whatever Satan's been stealing from you, first point you must do is you must allow yourself to feel the loss. Some of us are so afraid of emotions, especially negative emotions, that we don't let it happen. My friend, if he's stolen that friendship from you, if he's stolen your marriage from you, if he's stolen your compassion, if he's stolen your confidence, the first step is to stop and feel it. Why? Because if you don't feel it deeply, you won't act to get it back. Now, for some of us, I think this is hard. Because when I look at those top two that you listed last week, peace and joy, for most of us, those weren't taken like in one fatal swoop. Slowly but surely, my peace and my joy was stolen. And so I wake up and I don't even recognize it's happened. So look at it and feel it and let it motivate you that you're angry that Satan stepped into your house and he took it from you. Now, that's not where the story stops. Go with me now to verse 6. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. You can understand this. All the other folks, they're pretty bitter about it. Man, they've lost their sons and daughters. Imagine losing your whole family. And I don't know why they're blaming David. Maybe it was David's decision not to leave anybody to protect their village. Or maybe it's just the price that David's playing. Whenever anything goes bad, guess who gets blamed? The leader. But these guys want David dead. And that brings me to number two. Don't listen to the enemy's lies. They're mad at the wrong person.